How to build a youth ministry using the team concept. Introduction. Hello, and thank you for taking the time to read my ebook. In this ebook, I will do my best to communicate how you can use the team concept to build a youth ministry. Just a little bit about myself. I have been involved in youth ministry for 25 years. I was saved in 1987 at Victory Outreach Church in La Puente, California. I became a youth leader in my church in 1988. I was launched out as a youth pastor to Albuquerque, New Mexico in 1991 and served at Victory Outreach Albuquerque as the youth pastor for 11 years. In 2003, I moved to San Diego, California, where I had the privilege of being the young adult pastor and also one of the worship leaders of Victory Outreach San Diego. In 2010, I was sent to be a missionary by my church to Cape Town, South Africa, where I am currently the youth pastor. We are experiencing phenomenal growth by applying the team concept in building our youth ministry. In this book, I will communicate some of the strategies and concepts that we are currently using to build a dynamic youth ministry. I must say that throughout my years of working with young people, I have seen many ideas, strategies, concepts, and systems on how to build a solid youth ministry. But the most effective one that I have seen to date is to establish a team. With this concept, there is no limit in how far you can go in building a solid youth ministry. In this book, I am going to cover areas of the team concept, and I hope and pray that you are blessed by what I share. I will be writing this book as if I am sitting down and talking to a youth leader in a one-on-one conversation. For more resources, ideas, concepts, and my personal blog, feel free to stop by my website, www.pastordre.com. God bless you. Chapter 2. You need to have a vision. Youth ministry with a vision. The first thing I would encourage every youth leader or youth pastor to have for their youth ministry is a vision. In order to build an effective youth ministry, it is imperative that the youth leader has a vision of the type of youth ministry that he or she would like to develop. Where a commonly known goal is lacking, all members of the youth ministry team tend to direct their energy and talents toward varying things, which many times leads to achieving less. If the team is pulling together towards achieving a common goal, it reduces frustration and steers the team in a common direction. In Proverbs 29:18, the Bible states, "Where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint, but blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instruction." It is only after knowing the vision of your youth ministry that you will be able to establish goals and measure achievements. Having a vision will guide you in developing various ministries, avenues, recruiting team players, and placing the team players in their power spots in order to leverage the strength of the team. A common vision will enable you to begin working successfully as a youth ministry team. What is a vision? The dictionary defines vision as a vivid, imaginative conception or anticipation. I prefer to define it as a goal that you have set to accomplish. If a youth ministry has no vision, then it is hard to guide your team in the direction you want them to go. Lacking a goal or vision will also make it difficult to measure accomplishments. Having a youth ministry with no vision is like running on a spiritual treadmill. There can be lots of action, work, sweat, and movement, but no progress. This can be frustrating to the team because of all their action, work, sweat, and labor is not actually producing measurable results. Before trying to put a team together, it is important to establish the vision of your youth ministry first. What are you as the youth leader attempting to accomplish in your youth ministry with your team? Once you know the vision, you can start putting a team together who will help you reach this vision. A team is said to be two or more people who are working together to accomplish a goal. When a ministry has the team concept, it helps to eliminate what I call the bottleneck syndrome. This is when everything needs to be approved by the main youth leader before any progress takes place. Whereas in a team concept, the team players are able to move their ministry forward in the direction they feel to go as long as it complements the overall ministry. Now let's get back to having a vision. Your goal can be short or long term. The important thing is that it is established and used as a guide and reference. How do I get a vision? I believe in order for the youth leader to get a vision for their youth ministry, he or she needs to get the heart of God for that youth ministry. This comes by spending time in prayer and getting the heartbeat of God. As a youth leader or youth pastor, it is important for me to get the heartbeat of God for my ministry. This comes by seeking God and asking, what is it that God would like to accomplish in the lives of young people through this youth ministry? Once you get direction and purpose from God, it helps you to stay focused on what God has called you to do. It eliminates determining our successes by comparing ourselves to others or trying to do what every other youth ministry is doing. But our success will be determined by accomplishing what God has set out for us to do. After you get the heartbeat of God for your youth ministry, the next step is to ask yourself, how does this vision fit into my local church? Complementing the local church. It is important that the vision for your youth ministry feeds your local church. I am a strong believer that my youth ministry should be sending leaders, workers, and laborers into the mission field and also into my local church. Too many youth leaders want to keep their team in the youth ministry, especially if they are good. I believe as a youth leader, you should also have the goal to feed your local church with leaders, workers, and helpers. As a youth pastor, I get blessed when I see our young people involved in Sunday mornings, when I see them singing on the worship team, helping in the ushers ministry, involved in the sound ministry, and volunteering in the children's ministry. As we train and develop young people in our youth ministries, the overall church should be strengthened and the pool for effective leaders available for ministry is increased. If the youth leader has a vision just to build their youth ministry and not complement the overall church, then it may become difficult to mobilize young people. Why? The local church is going in one direction and the youth ministry is going in another. Example, if I have a young person who is good at skits and the church has a need for a skit ministry, if I am out to build my youth ministry and not the overall church, I will try and keep that young person in building a skit ministry for the youth ministry and not the church. Now, if I have a vision that complements the overall church, I will see the need for a skit ministry in the church and release that young person to build the skit ministry in the church. The youth leader should not only get the heart and mind of God for their youth ministry, but it is also very important to ask your pastor or ministerial team how the vision of the youth ministry fits into the vision of the local church. Share it with your pastor. Now, after you know the heartbeat of God for your youth ministry, the next step is to share this goal vision with your local pastor. In order to stay on track, sit down and share it with your pastor and see how it can complement the vision of your local church. Just a side note, I personally believe that the vision of every youth ministry should complement the vision of the local church. I should not be trying to take my youth ministry in a different direction from my local church. I guess the only thing that I can think of and the advice I would give to every youth pastor and youth leader is to keep the bigger picture in mind. Remember, the youth ministry is a piece of the puzzle that helps in accomplishing the big picture. Too often, youth leaders may come up with a vision that is going in a totally opposite direction of their local church. Believe me, I have been there and done that, and the results are not going to be what you want to see. Now, on the other hand, when a youth pastor goes in the same direction as the overall church, it lessens friction, and the results of complementing the overall church are fruitful. When youth leaders keep the big picture of the overall church in mind, it becomes easier to release some of the best team members to the overall church. Keeping the overall picture in mind is one of the biggest challenges of any youth leader. I know you are trying to build your youth ministry and you want to have a solid team, but sometimes it may be necessary to release some of your best players into the life of the overall church. Write down the vision. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. Habakkuk 2:2. As a youth pastor, I would encourage you to have a vision statement for your youth ministry and put it on paper. A vision statement that is written on paper helps everyone on the team to stay on the same page, literally. A vision statement explains the why of what you do. When you answer the question of why you do what you do, it helps people to understand the how of what you do. I would not recommend writing a vision statement that is very long. It should be as short as possible. An example of a vision statement is to build a strong sending youth ministry. It is also very important to keep the vision of your youth ministry before your team. They may even get tired of you repeating it, but that's okay. It is better for them to get tired of you repeating it than for them not to know the vision at all. Communicate the vision. What good is it to have a vision if the youth leader is the only one who knows about it? Once you have the vision of your youth ministry established, the next step is to constantly communicate the vision to your team. You should communicate it so much that they may get tired of hearing it. It is better to have a team that is tired of hearing about the vision than a team that doesn't know or understand the vision. If the youth leader doesn't consistently communicate the vision or goal to the team, it could almost be as detrimental as not having one. Does your team know the vision of your youth ministry? Or better yet, if someone were to ask you the vision of your youth ministry, what would you say? If someone were to ask your team the question, what is the vision of your youth ministry? How many of your team members will give the same answer or even similar answers? I would encourage you to try this exercise with your team. Ask them this question, what is the vision of our youth ministry? And see how many give the same answer that you would. If only 2 out of 10 give the same answer, then I would take that as a challenge that I am not communicating the vision or goal of our youth ministry consistently enough. Your vision should be communicated and repeated so much that it is like having a song on repeat. Having a vision for your youth ministry is one thing, but communicating it effectively to all other team members is what matters most. The vision in question here is the aim of the church's youth team members, and they need to understand exactly what it is so they can be actively involved in living up to it. Communicating the vision of the youth ministry over and over again to the youth members will help them not to forget it and keep it on their minds all the time. It is very common to find a very enthusiastic youth leader who understands the vision of his ministry deeply, yet none of the other members know what it is all about. This should not be the case, and it is the leader's responsibility to communicate the vision to the team and the young people effectively and repetitively. Even if it gets monotonous, one should never get tired of reminding all team partakers what the team is working towards. It is a very effective way to lead your team in the direction of your vision or goal as a youth ministry. One thing that I like to do is share on our vision statement. I remind our team in our meetings and also quote the vision statement in regular conversation. Vision blows the whistle. When you and I have a vision, it gives us guidelines and direction for what we should and shouldn't do. When you have no vision, you have no restraints. But when you do have a vision, you have restraints. Vision will keep boundaries on your ministry, and it will not let you get involved in unnecessary activities just to stay busy. I like to look at it like this. Vision will act like a referee in a sports game. Whenever you get out of bounds and stop heading in the direction of your goal, it will blow the whistle to let you know you are out of bounds. The main reason that people will sit down for hours and watch a sports game is basically to watch someone attempting to reach a goal. I don't think too many of us would want to watch a football game if no one scored points, or a basketball game without a hoop, or even a soccer game without a goal. The thing that makes watching sports fun is the fact that they are trying to reach a goal. The out-of-bounds lines will not let you run into the stands, go into the parking lot, and do all kinds of things that are not leading you toward the goal. The minute you or I do that, that is where the referee comes in and blows the whistle. Not too many people want to watch people who are not heading towards a goal. Well, the same thing applies in youth ministry. Not too many people want to be a part of a youth ministry that has no goal or vision. If you find your youth ministry like that, I say it is time to let vision blow the whistle and get you back in the direction of a goal or vision. The numbers game. When a youth ministry has a vision or goal, it will help the youth leader or youth pastor not to get caught up in what I like to call the numbers game. You may be saying, what do you mean by the numbers game? Well, throughout my years of experience, I have seen the numbers game sidetrack youth leaders. It is when a leader gauges the success of their youth ministry by the number of young people that come to their youth service, rather than by the success of reaching their vision or goal. What can begin to happen is we focus all of our attention on attracting big numbers at our youth night, and we forget about reaching our vision, our goal. So now all our energy, ideas, and efforts goes into attracting a crowd rather than reaching our vision, our goal. Believe me, I have seen and heard so many different strategies, ideas, and concepts that some youth leaders come up with to attract young people to their youth nights that it is shocking. The good thing about having a vision is it helps to keep you away from getting sidetracked and determining your success on the numbers game rather than if you are reaching your vision or goal. The best way to determine if a youth ministry is successful or not is to evaluate it based on marked achievements set by the vision or goal. Chapter 3. Establishing the Right Ministries. Avenues of Ministries. Now, once I have the vision for my youth ministry in place, the next step is to take a look and see what ministries I need to establish that will move us toward our vision as a youth ministry. I like to look at ministries as avenues. Let me explain to you why. The more ministries or avenues that you have in your youth ministry, the more opportunities a young person has to get involved and go on the journey with you to reach your vision. Example, if I have a skit ministry, then those that come to youth night that like being involved in acting will have a place where they can get involved. If I have a worship team, then those that come to youth night that like to sing or play an instrument will have a place they can get involved. If I have an evangelism team, then those that come to youth night that like witnessing and letting others know about Jesus have a place to get involved. So what these ministries do is create avenues for young people to get involved in the life flow of the church. Now, if I only have two or three ministries or avenues, then the involvement of the young people will be very limited because there is not much opportunity for them to get involved. What can happen is this can create a spectator mentality of the young people coming to your youth nights rather than a participator mentality. A spectator is one who comes to youth night to watch us do all the work while they sit in the church seats. Not because they don't want to get involved and help, but because there are not enough avenues for them to participate. On the other hand, a participator is one who comes to youth night and participates in the service by using their talents and gifts. They participate in the service because there are avenues available for them to get involved. One young person may not be gifted in acting, but they may be gifted in singing. One young person may not be gifted in singing, but they may be gifted in evangelizing. One young person may not be gifted in evangelism, but they may be gifted in rapping or dancing. So the more avenues we create, the more of a chance we have of getting the young people involved according to their gifting. We have even started a tutoring ministry, or should I say, a tutoring avenue in our youth ministry. This is a ministry where some of our youth team members provide tutoring in certain subjects for our young people. This does a few things. One, it allows a place for the one doing the tutoring to take ownership of the youth ministry's vision. Two, it also allows them to use their gifts. Three, it allows for the young person who needs the tutoring to get love and support in an area they need help. Four, it creates another avenue for young people to get involved and feel a part of the overall youth ministry. These are only four things that I have mentioned, and I'm sure you can think of more things it does. But creating an avenue such as this one does so much more for your youth ministry. Now, on the other hand, if I only have two or three ministries or avenues taking place in my youth ministry, then basically I will have a hard time attracting young people who are gifted in areas that our ministries or avenues don't cover. Then what can happen is the road to accomplishing our vision becomes crowded and overstacked, because everyone who wants to come along with us on this journey to our vision only has two or three rows to travel on. You and I both know what happens when a lot of people are trying to get in the same direction, but the roads are limited. You get what is called a traffic jam. Now, the only way to avoid a traffic jam is to add another avenue or get off the highway. Unfortunately, when a youth ministry has a traffic jam because of too few ministries, many young people get off the journey because they feel there is not enough room for them. Therefore, in order to avoid young people leaving your youth night and getting off the journey, I say add more ministries. The more ministries or avenues that you have in your youth ministry, the better, because it creates more opportunity for young people to get involved and take ownership of the vision. The challenge is not to go and start all kinds of ministries just because we want avenues, but rather for the youth leader to find out what ministries are needed to take the ministry toward the goal. This is where it gets exciting and where I would like to emphasize on building a youth ministry, or any ministry for that matter, with the team concept. I like to look at it like this. If I want to bake a strawberry cake, then there are certain ingredients that I will need. Now, no matter how hard I work at baking the cake and no matter how many people I have helping me, if I don't have the right ingredients, then we are not going to reach our desired end. It is the same thing in youth ministry. You can work hard at accomplishing your vision. You can even have all kinds of people helping you. But if you don't have the right ingredients needed to reach the vision or goal of your youth ministry, then there is a good chance that you will not reach your desired end. The challenge as a youth leader is to see what ingredients or ministries that you will need to put in place to help you reach your desired end. You will need to sit down and think about what ministries need to be established that will take you in the direction of the vision of your youth ministry. You may be thinking, I understand I need to establish certain avenues or ministries, but how do I decide which ones are appropriate? That is probably one of the most important questions you will ask yourself as a youth leader. What I have found effective in establishing ministries or avenues in a youth ministry is to take a look at the needs that are represented amongst the young people in my church or city. Once I find those needs, there are two things I will try and do. One, I will take a look at my existing team and identify ministries that we can establish based on the gift and talents represented amongst the team. I will sit down and meet with my team and begin to challenge them to start a ministry where they can use their talents and gifts to help us build our youth ministry. I will try and create an avenue for them to shepherd the young people according to their gifting or power spot, which I will speak more about later in the book. Let me also mention, as the youth pastor, I don't just challenge my team to use their gifts while I sit back and watch. I also create avenues based on my gifting and establish ministries that help us to build in the direction of our vision. I think it is unfortunate when you have a youth leader challenging everyone else to use their talents and gifts, but for some reason, they choose not to use their own. Number two, if I don't have a team yet, I will begin to look and see who can I recruit that is a part of my church and shows interest in working with young people. I will look at what area they are talented in, and then ask them if they would like to commit to helping us build a ministry that is going to impact hurting young people. I ask them to be a part according to their talent. For example, if they like hip-hop dancing, then I would ask them if they would like to start a hip-hop group in our youth ministry. I explain what will be expected of them in beginning the group and the impact they will make upon young people. They will become an avenue in which young people will become connected to our church, our youth ministry, and more importantly, to the Lord. The impact upon potential youth is great, but the impact upon a new team player is also significant. When a young person finds their power spot and begins to function in it, the outcomes are limitless. Chapter 4, Choosing the Right Team Players. Selecting a team. Once I have determined the ministries that I will need to put in place to accomplish our goal as a youth ministry, I can start looking for team players that will help me oversee and lead these areas of ministry. The way I like to recruit team players is to find their power spots. The way I find a person's power spot is by asking them two questions. One, if you could do anything for God and knew you wouldn't fail, what would you do? Two, if you could do anything for God and money didn't stop you, what would you do? The answer to these questions will usually tell me a person's power spot and their passion. As a youth pastor, when you are recruiting for your team, try not to recruit people according to the needs in your youth ministry. I believe you should recruit people on your team according to the power spot of the individual. This will help eliminate the team player that is being recruited from having the mentality that he or she is just meeting a need or filling in a gap. If we as youth pastors are not careful in selecting and placing our team members, it can lead to having a team player in an area of ministry that they do not have passion for. The youth pastor should be recruiting team players for their passion and use the team player's passion to create another avenue for young people to get involved, connected, and grow while the team player expresses his or her passion. Put your team in their power spots. Once you have found the passion of a new team player, then the challenge for every youth leader is to place this individual in their power spot. In order for a person to be the most effective at helping build the youth ministry, leading young people, and moving their area of ministry forward, they will need to be in their power spot. I would personally rather have 5 people on my team in their power spots than 20 who are not in their power spots. What I have learned is that when people are not in their power spots, their motivation for ministry can be stunted. You have to constantly remind them to build their ministry, to follow through with things in their area, and you have to keep challenging them to grow their ministry. On the other hand, when they are in their power spot, passion will motivate them to build their ministry, follow through, and grow in their area of ministry. When a team player has to keep asking me for ideas to move their area of ministry forward, I become concerned. Why? Because passion should be doing this and not me. Passion should be the one giving the team player ideas to move forward. When I am not available to motivate them as the team leader, passion will do that for me. Now, I am not saying that the team members should just come up with all kinds of crazy ideas and do whatever they want, but I am saying the team member that oversees an area of ministry should be coming up with ideas to grow that ministry because of their passion. Then, of course, they can run the ideas by you as the team leader and get your advice. But they shouldn't come with an empty page and expect you to come up with the plan. I often find myself telling my team when they ask me for ideas, let me see what you have so far, and then we can take it from there. When a person is in their power spot, that is where they will be the most effective in building an area of ministry. While on the other hand, if they are not in their power spot, they are likely to be less effective. Shepherd of my passion. The players on my team should have the attitude, I am a shepherd of my passion. What do I mean by that? As a team player, I should look at it like I have the privilege to oversee an area of ministry that is my passion and will attract other young people who are driven by the same passion to join me. Once they join, not only should I be focused on growing my area of ministry, but I should also have the mentality that God has sent them my way to shepherd them, and He has used their passion to do it. I heard someone once say, passion equals purpose. Purpose equals potential. Once the team player is selected, it is now up to the youth leader to create avenues or an area of ministry for this team player to express their passion. This is the opportunity for the team player to express their passion, to connect with young people, and help influence growth toward the vision of the youth ministry. I have come to realize the most effective place for anyone on my team is in his or her power spot. I have also learned that team players will be the most passionate about building in an area of their power spot. Chapter 5, Potential for the Purpose. The potential to be effective for your purpose. The good thing about putting people in an area of ministry that allows them to express their God-given passion is that it creates the most potential for effective ministry and getting the job done. They have the potential for the purpose. What does that mean? Well, when I find my passion, it can help me find my purpose in ministry. And when I find my purpose in ministry, I have the necessary potential to get the job done. Illustration. Let's use a cell phone as an example. First, I need to know the purpose of the cell phone. In order for me to find the purpose, I don't ask another cell phone or even the cell phone itself. I need to ask the manufacturer because they are the ones who designed it for a specific purpose. Once I find the purpose, I need to read the manual. The manufacturer put the manual together to show users how to take care of the phone and use it to its fullest potential. The manufacturer has put all of the necessary ingredients in the phone in order for it to accomplish the task for which it was made. The cell phone has the potential to accomplish the purpose for which it was made because the necessary parts are on the inside. The manufacturer wouldn't make the cell phone and not give it the necessary parts to function correctly. If I try and use the cell phone for a different purpose from which it was made, it will not reach its full potential and may even stop functioning. For the cell phone to be at its best, it needs to be used for the task it was created for. So it is with you and I. God has a purpose and a plan for our lives. In order to find out that plan and purpose, all we need to do is ask our Creator. Oftentimes, we go to man and try to find our purpose, but we need to go to our Creator. I often tell my team that I can't tell them their purpose. Only God knows that. I am also busy trying to figure out my own purpose. As a leader, I may be able to confirm the purpose of those around me, but I will not be able to tell them what it is. Our Creator made us with a purpose, and He also gave us a manual to abide by to get the most out of our lives. That manual is the Bible. It tells you and I what to do and what not to do in order for us to reach our full potential in God. Let me say it again. I heard someone once say, passion equals purpose. Purpose equals potential. Our Creator has also put in us the necessary ingredients that we need to accomplish the purpose for which He made us. Just like the manufacturer of the cell phone, so it is with you and I. God has put in us every gift that we need to accomplish the purpose for which He created us. God has given us everything that we need in order to be effective in the area of ministry for which He has created us for. So go out and empower your team to be in their power spot and watch how your ministry will begin to go to new levels for the honor and glory of Jesus. Well, that is it for now, and thank you for taking the time to read my ebook. I hope you have been blessed and will see results of growth by putting some of these ideas into practice. Pastor Dre, www.pastordre.com. If you have any questions, you can email me, Pastor Dre at pastordre.com.